Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered, You are the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things, and you did not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You can see the first. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I promise, you have my word, I won't let you down. Famous last words we've all heard right before that person quickly breaks their promise. I promise, you have my word, I won't let you down. This is essentially what God has said to Abram, and his promises that he made were massive. He granted Abram a whole land and descendants as far as the eye could see, and also from those descendants would come the blessing that would redeem the world from the brokenness of sin. So far, this sounds pretty good, doesn't it? However, God required one thing of Abraham. That was simply believe. When you read through Abram's life, soon to be Abraham, God seemed quite steadfast in declining to give Abraham any insight to the fulfillment that these promises were coming in any simple or obvious ways. In our text, we hear God promising a homeland to Abraham, but he first must leave his present home in Ur and then Haran to go there. The issue? Abram had no idea where it was, and God gave him no clue. No deed of ownership, no place to stake his claim. You see, Abram ends up living as a foreigner in the land that was promised. In fact, the only thing that he owned was a burial plot for he and his household that was given to them by the Hittites. The best Abraham could do was burial insurance? That doesn't sound so good, does it? Imagine for a moment the conversation that Abram had with Sarai after this encounter with God. Hey, honey, let's move somewhere. Okay, where are we going? Well, I don't really know. Well, where will our home be? Yeah, I'm not sure.
What will our new home look like? Well, I don't know that yet either, but I'm pretty sure we'll end up with a nice place to be buried. It's surprising, actually, that Abraham lived to be well past 100 years old after that conversation. Yet when God said, go, Abraham went. No land deed, no maps. God expected Abraham to believe, not on the basis of what he saw or the feelings he had or some type of burial insurance or any other earthly thing. God had spoken his promise. That was good enough for God. Therefore, it must be good enough for Abram. See, in this, we see God himself. He hides himself and he reveals himself at the same time in his spoken word of promise. Everything necessary was there because the Lord had spoken. He speaks, we believe. So then for 25 years, the Lord let Abram and Sarai sort of hang in this sort of, not really darkness, but just this unclear vision of how the Lord was working. And it frustrated them to absolutely no end. So much so that at times, in their unbelief, they schemed how to help God fulfill his promises in their own way. And we all know how well that worked out. But even in their weakness, God would not go back on the promises to Abram. He required Abram to trust him and only began to show the fulfillment of some of these promises, these starting to come together when it was too late. It was impossible. The human situation too hopeless. And yet, as St. Paul writes, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. To know God is to trust the word of God without evidence of fulfillment. So how could Abraham become the father of many nations? He couldn't even be the father of one son, let alone many. He was a man who was landless except for a burial plot. He lived in God's land only because the pagans that surrounded him allowed it. Yet the word in our text says, in you all families of the earth will be blessed. How in the world do these two things come together? See, we ask that question because human reason cannot reconcile the two. What reason sees drives it to distrust God's promise and blessings. It only sees sin and weakness. We see broken relationships between husbands and wives, children disregarded, and all types of rebellion against God's order. We see large houses behind gated communities and think, well, what about us? We see expensive cars and clothes to match and think, well, what's wrong with me? We see empty pews and think, why are those other churches full and not ours? Surely these groups must be blessed by the Lord, which means I must not be. But you see, it's at this exact point as to why we must trust God. All he gave Abraham was a word. And he did not give riches. He did not give land, nor a deed to property. He didn't even give him much hope. So Abraham, against hope, believed and had hope. And we are not so different. So much so that we often believe what we believe against hope also. I mean, why should God himself come and be present in our little church here? He does that for great men like Abraham. And let's face it, none of us will ever be considered great historical figures of the church. How can we expect God to come and meet us here in this humble place built by human hands? Because like Abraham, our Lord Jesus lived a landless life. He tells us he had no place to lay his head, but in his flesh he was willing to live among us. And he is willing to give himself to us, in with and under the bread and wine, for us to eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. Paul tells us that the words, "It was counted to Abraham as righteousness," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. This means God wants us to know that he is willing to come down into our homes and our little space here. "But for us also" shows us that our Lord treats us the same as he treated Abraham. Just when reason shows us that all is lost and hopeless, that we are on the verge of despair, God, our Heavenly Father, comes to us in Jesus to show us that he cares for us, to show us that he has opened his heart to us. The one who raised Jesus from the dead is also the one who sent Jesus to bear our transgressions and atone for our sins through his resurrection from the dead. And he did it all for us. This faith believes that we are at the same table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For our God is the God of the living, not the dead. So then Abraham is also part of our faithful community. Just as Abram, against all hope, had faith and went forward not seeing, so too we, by the power of God, can have faith that trust God to account to us as righteous before him, although we won't see it here. See, Lent is a time of hope amidst of hopelessness. Our Heavenly Father sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, as possessing nothing and yet blessing all nations by giving himself into death for them. He came not to possess land, but to give himself to those who are traveling the wilderness of this world on our way to the cross. With these promised blessings, we are still going forward to our final home. Even though we have no deed for it, we have hope in it because God promised, just as he promised Abraham. So our hope is Abraham's hope.